This is not a way to like hack your life. I'm just so tired of all the hacks, and the like the way that we're just looking to extract things from different practices. I think it's important to not be just like look at things about like what can I get out of this? Right? And like what's in it for me? Because I think anytime that we're doing something like that, it's like you're missing the juice in it. Like you're missing the joy. Like you don't go to your dance party at night and go, I am here to extract joy from this situation, right? Like I'm
Exactly.
select, right?
Yeah.
You're like, not that track. The BPMs are not going to align with like the maximum extraction of joy. That's not what you're doing.
Hey, welcome to the Bodies Built Better podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Tan, and I really appreciate you being here with me today. This show is all about human performance and everything it means to perform at your best. We look at the performance side in terms of the physical, the training, the recovery, the nutrition, hydration, sleep, etc. And we also look at the things that are more of the energy-based, whether it is the thoughts we think, the emotions we keep, our environment and who we surround ourselves with. For me, it's so important that we make sure that we cover absolutely everything that could impact the way we show up and how we perform at our best. So, on today's episode, I have the absolute pleasure of welcoming back one of my favorite people, author of Heavily Meditated and the Heavily Meditated app. She runs courses on breath. She's a meditation teacher and an incredible human being. Caitlin Cady is back with me and she's guest hosting this show. And today we talk about rituals and why they play such a huge part in how we show up. Caitlin helps us break down what rituals actually mean, the rituals we currently have in our life that may be serving us or may not be serving us. So, how to identify all of that, and then how to come up with rituals that truly nourish us from within and help us show up as our best self for ourselves, but also for others as well. It's always such a fun time chatting with Caitlin. So, enjoy this episode on rituals with Caitlin Cady. Caitlin Cady, welcome back to the Bodies Built Better podcast.
So good to be back. It's like my second home.
I love having you on. I love chatting with you. And last year we got chatting on an episode, and you kindly gave me the idea of, because I wanted to do something different for the podcast 2023. And you were the one who came up with the idea of guest hosting.
Oh. What?
You
I
did.
didn't know that. Wow. I'm honored.
Remember? Well, naturally that means I had to get you on. Or maybe that's what I was thinking you were saying. And here we are.
I was just angling to get back on the podcast and just
It
basically
worked.
have another chat with you.
Yeah, perfect. Wonderful. Because you're guest hosting today. And I was thinking, what are the topics we could talk about? And actually, there's quite a few. Today's topic is around rituals.
Yes.
And I think rituals are such an important topic because I feel like they're the gateway to good health and well-being. And we potentially don't utilize them in a way that could really benefit us. So I would love to hear your thoughts on rituals, what they are to you, and why you think they're important.
Yeah, I love this topic because it really made me. I mean, it's a word I use a lot, right? And a term that pops up in my work a lot. And something that I think is really important and valued in my life and in my practices. But sometimes, you use a word a lot and then you don't always have cause to sort of like sit with the word and go back to its origin. And so I was in sort of preparing for our conversation, I was like, what does that word mean to me? And what does it, what does it mean in general, but what does it mean to me? And, I think that if you take it by definition, right, it's something that's done regularly or even like rhythmically, but it's not just a routine. There's something baked into that word that has an aspect of devotion or transcendence, right? And something that has a sense of like connecting us to whatever it is in the world that's bigger than ourselves, right? So that can sound quite grandiose, right? When we're going like, oh, I have a morning ritual, and it involves like three beverages, right? But what I think is so important about it is that it's not just a routine, right? It's not something that we just do that we do routinely or regularly in a specific order. There's this other aspect within it that makes it feel different, right? And so what is it? What is it that makes it feel different? I think that it's a few things. I think one, it lifts the veil on the divine, right? Like it makes us feel connected to whatever that is, the universe or just nature, or if we believe in, a higher power. I think it helps us form a connection with that. But I think it also, you can think about it in terms of like being in touch with just nature, being in touch with yourself and your own inner rhythms, and bringing an aspect of reverence and meaning and joy to your life, right? So it's not just something done regularly, it's something done with devotion and something that leaves us feeling with a deeper sense of meaning and joy and connection to ourselves and the world around us.
That
What
is
do you
so
think about that?
beautiful.
What do you think about that?
Well, firstly, I love the fact that you've gone to explain the word, because I've been thinking about this lately in terms of the language that we use and what we're saying, and the meaning behind the words we use, and they hold so much power, and yet sometimes we use language so flippantly as well. And and I'm just not able to either express what it is that we're feeling through our words. And so the fact that you've even brought that up, I'm connecting with it absolutely straight away. But one thing that comes up for me, which I'm not sure is, so firstly, I'm an optimistic person. I'm pretty positive, but when I hear certain things, my brain will also go, do I want to say negative? I don't know. Talking about language here, I'm not sure if negative is the right word. But when you say, rituals and doing them, with devotion and sense of reverence, when I hear that, I almost feel like that's too much for me, I think, to commit to begin with. And it scares me a little.
Well, you could back it off and go, you're a microcosm. You live in a macro, like, right? Like, you live in a macrocosm. But like what we learn in Ayurveda and yoga and tantra is that humans are a microcosm. So all of the elements that exist in nature and the world around you exist within you too, right? So there's the elements of water and earth and fire and ether and so on, air. So all of that is happening within you. You are a rhythmic being, right? Just like the world is seasonal and the tides, are fluid and all of these things that are moving and changing around you, that's also happening within you. And so it's like if we can accept that idea of like, okay, there's a universe inside of me, right? And it's mirrored in the world around me. Then, I think that's one way of taking something that can feel really grandiose and just going, oh, like in connecting to myself with reverence, which is what we're doing in a ritual, right? Then I'm also connecting to the greater, the great beyond, like whatever that is, with reverence, right? And I guess that leads me into this idea of how you do anything is how you do everything. And a ritual, like a meditation practice, is a training ground, right? It's a sort of container in our lives for us to practice a way of being, a way of attending to things that serves us and creates, more joy, more positivity, and more meaning in our lives. Does that feel less like,
Absolutely. Straight away. Yeah, that feels now doable.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, like a ritual, it doesn't like you don't have to like, it doesn't need to be something really complex. It's or something esoteric or even spiritual, It's just like it could be the way that you make a cup of tea and drink it, right? But then it's also other things. Like I know you, Jackie, have a, you and I share a love of a random kitchen dance party.
Certainly do.
And you like to do that, as part of your wind down from work, transitioning into evening, into togetherness time and cooking dinner. And it's an intuitive way that you're crossing a threshold in your day. And it's something that brings joy and meaning and even a sense of reverence for, this important part of your day, which is, a time for togetherness, a time for, nourishing yourself and also for having fun. That's a ritual, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because
And
you
it's
do
funny
it
because,
regularly.
yeah, which I would never think of it that way because it's about dancing and having fun and moving.
Well, but I think that like that's something that we can get a little bit too serious. And this is what I also want to say about like morning rituals in general is like this is not a way to like hack your life. I'm just so tired of all the hacks, and the way that we're just looking to extract things from different practices or whatever. And we were talking about a science-y sort of podcast before we started recording that we both listened to that is very extractive. And I feel like, I mean, I'm a big fan of looking at, scientific studies and like seeing the evidence of the way that, different practices can positively impact our well-being. I love that. And I really love the way that it's often just really echoing what the sort of ancient knowledge or wisdom is. It's like phenomenal how often they just line up perfectly, right? Like what an ancient yogic understanding of the nervous system and then the what's being sort of uncovered in labs today. It's like they mesh perfectly. That being said, as much as I love science and I love understanding the why behind things and seeing that they do work, I think it's important to not be just like look at things about like what can I get out of this? Right? And like what's in it for me? Because I think anytime that we're doing something like that, it's like you're missing the juice in it. Like you're missing the joy in it. Because that is not a relationship of, it's not a conversation. And that kind of brings us to, what we were talking about, how beautiful it is to like have these, guest hosted episodes. It's like there's so much chemistry and so much alchemy that comes in co-creating something. And so if you think of a ritual or whatever you're doing as being, mutually beneficial to something other than you, and that you're not just trying to extract something from it, that brings a different tone to it too. Like you don't go to your dance party at night and go, I am here to extract joy from this situation, right? Like I'm
Exactly.
elect, right? You're like, not that track. The BPMs are not going to align with like the maximum extraction of joy. That's not what you're doing.
So good. Exactly. It's when did we become so transactional with
Oh.
everything that we do? It's just like things have lost meaning.
Well, you're taking things out of context, right? When you're being transactional like that. And I think you're so right. Like that's such a perfect word to use because, and I think probably, the answer to that question is like patriarchy, capitalism. Like that's, we are an extractive, transactional culture. And I think that maybe that's why ritual for me is so appealing, is that it feels like, yeah, certainly there are benefits to it in terms of how I feel, but it also just makes me, it tunes me into the things that are so beautiful and that are free in life, and that I can be a part of not only, opening myself to that, but perhaps even showing my gratitude. There's, that's why that word reverence is so important. Like for you, do you feel a sense of reverence when you're like, shimmying around the kitchen bench? It's like there's a joy in that, like you're relishing your humanness, you're relishing your that you have a body to move in, and that your body is well enough to move. And like there's all of these sort of intuitive things that you're doing in that ritual that you're not overthinking, but there is an act of reverence in it, I think.
That appreciation for what, for so many things, for what my body can do, for the rhythm that I hear, for the music that I'm listening to, and the artist that has put that, those lyrics to get written those lyrics. Yeah, there's so much, so many layers to that. And yeah, what you were saying before as well, like in terms of the science, I love science and it's really important. But once upon a time, I mean, 16, seven, almost 17 years ago now, when I did my massage course, it's not a whole heap of science backing up why massage is so good for you. I mean, there is now, and it's really solid. It didn't stop people from experiencing massage because it does feel good. It does help you do things that you couldn't beforehand. It does relieve you of pain and whatnot. So it does all these beautiful things, and there's so much things or there's just so much science is yet to prove.
There
And
you
so
go.
why
Yeah.
limit ourselves to what
Right.
papers and researchers are telling us? Why not come back to ourselves and the humanness of what and who we are and our being and everything that we can see, touch, and feel and smell? I just, yeah, it's a crazy one that, I mean, you see also like on the socials now as well, like, calling bullshit. But sure, maybe the science isn't there on that, but maybe that's really good for someone. Maybe someone really enjoys the process of walking on grass and just keeping their feet
Yeah.
in the grass for an hour or so,
Totally.
grounding.
Totally. But I also think like there's something about what is unseen that we're uncomfortable with. Because if I can't see it, name it, and extract something from it, that scares me. Right? Like, and I'm saying me as in us collectively. And even your resistance to like the way that I originally was like, ritual is what connects us to. You're like,
Oh my God.
like the cynic comes out. And I think it's really important to have a healthy, a healthy amount of cynicism. I'm with that for sure. You need to be discerning. But also, I think that when we are only willing to engage with things that can be, sort of monitored in a lab, we are limiting ourselves. And we're eliminating any possible connection to awe or wonder or curiosity or even just that intuitive guide. That guidance within us that leads us towards things that are inherently nourishing or positive for us. So if I, I think if I tell you like X is good for you, do it, but you hate doing that thing, it brings you no joy or no pleasure. Like, are you going to get a benefit out of that? I don't know. I don't know. Like, maybe, but.
What's the
I don't know.
point?
What's the point?
Well,
And I also think that, I just also think that like it's a very Western framework to sort of evaluate things by, and there's still so much like if we are only now just figuring out, all of the like, oh, meditation is good for this and that and da 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 da. I'm like, well, yeah, I mean like yogis have been saying that for literal thousands of years. So
exactly.
it's like just because we can now define it, because we have the technology to define it and see it, that doesn't mean, to your point, that there's a whole other sort of layer or many, many other layers that will be revealed through the language of science eventually. But that doesn't mean that they don't exist now.
Exactly. That's it. And to your point where, things may work, but if you don't enjoy it, and me saying, what's the point? I can imagine people going, well, if it's good for you, then I'll do it, right? Like, even if I don't do it, if I enjoy it, if it's good for me, I'll do it. But that's the reason we have a society, a diet-based society. I mean, there are so many different diets that come out because one thing doesn't work and we chop and change from the other to the other to the other because we haven't enjoyed it. It hasn't been sustainable. So that is the reason why if something doesn't resonate with you, if you're not connecting with it, if it doesn't feel good, if it's not getting, bringing about any joy, then no, I don't think it should be the thing that you should be doing, even if you think you're going to achieve whatever it is you think you're going to achieve out of
Yeah, I think there's two
it.
things in that you just said. One is you've got to have a personal why. I'm really big on that, Jackie. Like if you're doing something because you read, an article that said it was good for you, that's probably not going to give you a lasting commitment to whatever that practice or hack or whatever is. But if you have, even if it's just an intuitive feeling of like, this thing brings me joy, then that is something that you're, I mean, I'm just saying that's one, that could be one motivation, but there's a million other different sort of whys that you could have that are motivating you to engage with us with a certain type of activity. But if you're doing it because it's coming from outside of you, that's never going to give you the longevity and the internal sort of motivation to create a lasting practice. You have to know why you're doing it. Why are you doing it? What are you hoping to gain from this? How do you want to feel because of this thing that you're endeavoring to do? So there's that. But then the other thing also, to your point about like diet culture, is just like, again, if you have a reverence for and a sense of gratitude for your body and the rhythms of your body, and you see it as a microcosm, not a macrocosm, it's not something that's there to be harnessed or controlled. It's something that's there to be listened to and responded to. Again, it's like being in conversation with yourself, whether that's your physical body or your headspace or, your spiritual being. I think that what ritual does is that, and doing anything with a sense of reverence is that it reconnects us to be in conversation with ourselves and potentially in conversation with the world around us. And for you, that might just be like the weather is doing this, and therefore I am going to respond by doing this practice or this type of movement or eating these types of foods. And to that sort of to follow that point a little bit more into something very tangible, in Ayurveda, it's said that how you eat is as important as what you eat. So if you're eating like the most nourishing bowl of food, you've got your brown rice, you've got your ferments, you've got your lean protein, whatever, but you're doing it while you're eating it while you're in like a state of stress or overdrive, or you're like watching the Kardashians while you eat it, you're not going to get the maximum sort of benefit of that, right? You're just not. It's not going to
Absolutely.
land the same way. I mean, and you can look at like the nervous system and the way that the nervous system functions and the way that digestion is linked to that, if you want sort of to look through the scientific lens. But even beyond that, the way that you feel when you eat something and you're unsettled or you're negative or you're sort of like in a negative headspace, like often you'll end up with indigestion, right? I think about this a lot actually when I go out to eat, which isn't that often, but like, some monks won't eat outside of like the monastery because they say that when you're eating food prepared by someone else, you're eating their consciousness. So like you're eating their energy. Like not like literally, but you're consuming whatever state of mind that person was in when they were preparing your food. That's why I want to come to your house for dinner, because you're doing it with like beats and shimmies and shuffles and maximum joy. So I'm into that. I want to, that's the bowl I want to eat,
Oh,
is
yeah.
the joy Jackie bowl. But isn't that interesting? Right? Like it's not just
Definitely.
about like calories and nutrients and vitamins. It's like, how do you feel in yourself when you're eating? How do you feel about the food? Do like you look at like saying grace. That's not something my family ever did, but I have a little moment before I eat where I just take a deep breath and say something sort of mentally to myself of gratitude for what I'm about to eat. And and I mean, there's different things that you could sort of like, there's a menu of different sort of almost you could think of them as like little affirmations or blessings or whatever that you could choose from, but it's a try it. That's a ritual.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the different types of rituals that we could be implementing in our lives, from the really simple, like you just said, the affirmations, or you mentioned earlier the way you make your tea, which I'm interested to know because I drink tea every night. So what's your ritual around that? But starting as simple as those things, and then let's get a little, I don't want to say complex, but more the
Yes,
bigger,
more, more,
just
more,
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 more.
more.
Lucky you
Okay,
speak my
well,
language.
yes, I
If you could
do.
break it down for the listeners, though.
I do. I'm with you. I smell what you're cooking. Okay, so I think the place to start with this is like to just remind everyone that you already know what to do. So you already know the things that work well for you. You can take a moment right now and reflect on times in your life where you felt more joyful, more connected, more peaceful, more calm. What were the things you were doing at that moment in your life that were helping to create that sort of outcome in the way that you were feeling? So most of us know. We know the foods that make us feel good. We know the friendships that make us feel good. We know the types of movement or whatever it is, the activities that we already know what works for us. So it's just a matter of coming home to those things and recommitting to a relationship with the things that serve us, not the things that sort of tear you down or deplete you or kill your mood. So with that in mind, let's begin at the beginning of the day, which is what do most people do first thing? Pick up the phone,
Guilty.
commence the scroll. Right?
emails.
That is a ritual that you are choosing, and it is not infused with positivity or reverence or gratitude or any of the good aspects of ritual, right? So there's a teacher, Rose Bowden. She's a yoga teacher here in Byron Bay, and she's amazing and a real character. And I heard her say at a talk once that you are what you worship. And I mean, she's not the first person to say that, but I've heard it from many different sources. But I'll always remember her just dropping knowledge on a room full of people and people just going like, oh my gosh. So whether you think you're doing a ritual in your day or not, you are. You're just worshiping at the altar of Instagram or your inbox or Google or whatever shopping platform you frequent most, right? So you are what you worship. So whether you are in, it's a choice between doing something intentionally and doing something sort of accidentally. So you can bring a level of consciousness into the things that you're doing regularly and routinely, and that empowers you to co-create your day in a way that's gonna yield much more juicy results, right?
Beautifully said.
Okay, so stop looking at your phone first thing. That's like my number one piece of advice for all humans.
Yeah.
Just please don't. Okay, so what could you do instead? Like, what if you just made a cup of tea and you stood there and waited for the, or whatever, you make coffee, like sit, stand there and take 10 intentional breaths. Using, a particular breath technique or something while the kettle is boiling or while the coffee is brewing, use that time to be present and wake up intentionally, right? And then maybe what if you drank your morning beverage of choice looking out a beautiful window or going outside onto your veranda and just sitting and just being with that cup of tea or that cup of coffee and looking at the space around you. It sounds so simple, but what you'll notice is first you have a huge resistance to it because you're like, I could be cleaning out my inbox, or I could be already doing sit-ups while I'm sipping my tea in between reps, or whatever it is. We're in such a hurry to get our day started. But if you can take that pause, I often say that these thresholds in our days are just like such juicy. We've talked about this before, I think, Jackie. Like they're amazing. They give us an opportunity to move through different aspects or seasons of our day with more intention. And so if you can move with more intention, then you're going to, again, like engage with things in a way that feels so much more satisfying and meaningful. So even just sitting still and enjoying your entire morning beverage while sitting down and looking out, into your backyard or whatever, that's a beautiful, simple ritual. Rather than just rolling into your day and what happens for you, Jackie, when you open your phone first thing? How does it feel?
So in my head, what I'm telling myself, the reason I go to my phone, because my alarm has gone off. So obviously you turn that off. But the light is the thing that helps me to wake up. So that's what I'm using to kind of rouse myself to a sense of humanness. And so that's what I would do. And when you say, taking that time, to just kind of ease into the morning, I've realized that I do that, but it's kind of a bit backwards because the first, when I wake up, I do the little scrolly thing, get the light in my eyeballs, which is not good for you. I know that the light you should be getting is the sunlight because that's the correct the light that we should be getting into the body because that is, just starts a whole ray of hugely healthy, beneficial things for the human body. Anyway, so I do that. I'll get up. I'll wear, if I'm going to work that day, then it's shower, get ready, go to work. So that's like in a hurry, getting it done. But I go to work, I get to work at least 40 minutes early. And that is actually the time I just sit. And that's my chill time where I'm just doing things around the place, setting up the room. And of course, as a massage therapist, the room is really kind of dimly lit and it's kind of nice to just chill in. That's where I'm that, yeah, that's where I'm kind of just easing my way into the day.
Yeah, which makes sense in the type of work that you're doing. I guess the concern with opening your phone first thing though is that there's kind of a good chance that there's going to be something in your inbox or on Instagram or in the news that's going to be upsetting. I just think 9 times out of 10, I feel worse after looking at those things than I did before, And I guess that's the nice thing about creating a buffer is going, I'm going to have some agency and give myself a good start to my day, a solid foundation where I'm going to choose the mindset, I'm going to prime my nervous system, I'm going to connect with the part of myself that is beyond, reactivity and ego and all of that, and be in that a more expanded space so that when I then engage with these with the world, including my phone, that I have a greater capacity to hold it and respond and not react and not let it sort of trigger me or set the tone for my entire day. So that's the, I guess, the logic behind it, for me. And can you do that, after you get to work? I'm sure that works well too, and
It's
you're
a
getting
crazy.
grounded.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because I get it. Like, and I've done it before, right? So I know how good I can feel. It's just these. It's a weird thing with me. Like, I get into these patterns of I'll do it for a few weeks and then off it for a few weeks. And it's just this sort
Yeah,
of roller
but I
coaster
think that's
coming in and
normal
out of it.
too. Yeah, that's normal though. Like, remember, we're all like cyclical beings. So there's also room for it to ebb and flow. That's why I think things like you must meditate twice a day for 20 minutes at these precise times. Ain't nobody gonna do that. Okay, like 90% of people are gonna fall off that wagon real quick. And to the people who maintain that, good on you. But they're the exception, right? And so if I say to you instead, meditate every day for whatever length of time you have. Like maybe set a minimum of 5 minutes or whatever. They've done studies that have said I think like 12 minutes is sort of like the bare minimum for, but it's what's more important is doing it every single day. So if you did it every single day for varying amounts of time, then you're going to create a really positive outcome. And it's about, I've said this, I'm sure you've heard me say this before, be devoted but flexible. So whatever your rituals are, whatever these, positive things that you're trying to weave into your day are, understand why you're doing it. Be devoted but flexible, right? And so you want to create that rhythm and that regularity with it, but you also need to be fluid because you're going to feel differently day to day, and what you have on each day is going to be different. So it's about having a little bit of flexibility there too, that I think is super important. And also, Jackie, I need you to go buy like an analog alarm clock. Please. Mudita, it's funny. I've had like three people ask me in the last week about, Kate's, do you know a good like analog alarm clock? I don't want my phone in my room. And I'm like, yes. And Mudita, Mudita, they make two different alarm clocks that have no blue light. They don't need, you can just recharge them, they're battery, and they have really gentle sounds and a lovely light that comes on. that you can set. So it sort of gradually adds light to your room. So Jackie, you could just hold it right in front of your
My
face.
eyeballs.
But I can't tell you what a huge difference that has made for me. I haven't slept with my phone in my room for many, many, many years, but I would plug it in like outside the door, you know, if I needed to use the alarm clock. And then I found this alarm clock a couple years ago, and as you know, they're not cheap, but worth it. So worth the investment.
Done.
So
Mudita.
yeah, Mudita. And there's two different ones. There's one that has like the fully analog clock face, and then there's one that has like a digital clock face. I have the OG analog one, but I think they're both great.
Amazing.
So that's
All
Jackie's
over
homework.
it.
Report
Exactly.
back, Jackie.
Well, since you've given me homework, what could
Yes.
you give to the listeners? Homework.
Well, I think that thinking, like, ask yourself, like, what am I worshiping? Because, you know, it's like we're all worshiping something. So, what are you worshiping? And think about, that's a great place to start. You already have rituals in your day. So, are they serving you? So, do a little audit and then look at whether you can swap in something that would bring a greater sense of positivity and joy and reverence. So typically the rituals that we're doing are at like thresholds in our day. So it's like when we're waking up, when we get to work, when we stop for lunch, when we, you know, when we go to the bathroom, even like how many people take their phone to the bathroom? You can't leave your phone on the table. Like you need, why? It's
Kind of disgusting, isn't
what were those little Tamagotchi? Do you remember this?
Tamagotchis.
Oh my gosh. It's like you can leave your phone. It's gonna be fine. Even the way we say, like, I've gotta check my phone. Like, it's fine. It doesn't like need feeding or watering. It's gonna be fine without you. Are you okay? But even those things, it's like notice the little pauses or the like very subtle thresholds or transitions in your day when you leave, you know, you go home from work or whatever it is. And that's often where you'll find these sort of like unintentional rituals that you've created for yourself. So just maybe look at, okay, what could I do? What could I do instead? And maybe start with one or two. So maybe it's the way that you have your morning beverage. Maybe it's starting your day with a meditation before you're allowed to touch your phone, or if you're using an app, then it's like go open up the app, do your meditation, and then you have permission to, you know, like you have to kind of do that habit stacking thing where you just go, like, I will do this after I've done that. And you know, maybe it's taking three deep breaths and saying something affirming and positive before you eat each meal. Maybe it's having a dance party before while you're cooking your meal. You know, maybe it's lighting a candle at dinner and making sure everybody's devices are away. There's all of these little things where we can create more meaning and beauty and reverence in our lives. We just have to decide that we're going to intentionally choose those rituals versus just defaulting to the shit that tears us down. So that's your homework. Do a little audit of your day and look for the things that you do. I mean, most, I think the main sort of like source of issues in people's lives is like their phone. I hate to say it, but
True.
it's bananas, right? So, and then look at like, can I add in some kind of mindful movement? Can I add in a 3 minutes of, you know, conscious breathing? And if you need help, like figuring out what those conscious breathing tools are, you know, you can email me or you can check it out. I've got lots of resources in the app. Meditation, do
Download
the
the Happily
7 minute.
Meditated app.
Thank you, girl. Meditation, journaling. Can't recommend that highly enough. I just can't like write for 3 pages. stream of consciousness with no outcome and burn it afterwards if you want.
Or three lines if you're not inclined for
Or three lines. Do 3 minutes.
Yeah.
3 minutes. You can do it in minutes or lines or pages, but I find that like you, 3 lines is a little bit skeet. Like go, you got to give yourself a little time to warm up. Cause like your first 3 lines will be like, I am writing 3 lines because Caitlin and Jackie.
3 lines for help.
I'm out. Peace. Yes, but truly like that can be cathartic and amazing. A gratitude ritual. Write down 3 things you're grateful for from the last 24 hours. Inspiration, read 1 or 5 pages of a book that's inspiring. And reverence and wonder. So just like look outside. If you live near nature, then like go for a cup of tea or a walk and just look at nature around you, or go, you know, anywhere. And there's beautiful spaces no matter where you live, right? So those are just like, that's a quick little shorthand menu of just things you could do instead of mindlessly picking up your phone at every sort of transition point in your day.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. And to add on to that, I have this thing where I go, I mean, except for the morning, pick up your phone thing, where I choose good first. So
oh, I love that.
Yeah. So if I want, for example, to have, whether it's a piece of chocolate or it's, you know, it's the thing that's maybe not as good as having something good, choose good first and then have the thing if you still want the thing. So it's like, okay, instead of the chocolate, I'm going to go peel that green apple that I bought. It's just been sitting there for a couple of days now. So I'll get that out, eat that up, have a cup of tea. Do I still want the chocolate? Yes or no? So yeah,
love it. Yeah, love
that's
it.
Something.
It's there's something about, again, that word, like a buffer too, of, I mean, you're incentivizing yourself, right? You're saying like, okay, I'll do this thing that I know is, you know, more nourishing to myself. But it's also like interrupting the pattern of reaching for something. And I mean, they've done studies where they've shown like even just having your phone on the table has an effect on the connection that's created. Even just having it, even if you're not actively looking at it, that there's a difference between how well people connect over, you know, a meal or whatever with their phones on the table versus if their phones are not visible.
Ooh, yeah, I don't like phones on the table.
But that's a buffer, right? Like if you put it away, you have to make more of an effort to go get it, right? And eating the apple is the
exactly.
buffer. Doing the meditation is a buffer. And also, you know, all of those things, they're buffers, but they're also creating a positive outcome in and of themselves,
yes.
Which is great. So good before, what is this?
Choose good first.
Choose good first. I'm like, good before better. No, that's not it.
I think, is that what I said?
Because choose good first. It's not said, it's what I said, because I'm in my mind, that's the way I've gone, good before better. I'm like, the apple is good, but the chocolate is better.
That's totally right, though. Yeah. Oh, damn it. Don't put that in my head.
Choose good first.
Oh, lovely.
I love
Caitlin.
That.
It's so good. On that note, I think we've given listeners all the recipes they need for building better rituals. Thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Caitlin Cady, all on rituals. I would love to know what rituals you currently have, whether they are good ones or maybe not so good ones, just like myself with the whole phone thing, which I'm working on. I think I'm doing pretty good. I think, because sometimes the phone is in the room and sometimes it's not. So, hey, I'm weaning myself, right? I've got to start somewhere. But I do have some really beautiful rituals as well. As you would have heard in the episode, I do love a good dance and a boogie during my cooking for dinner prep. So I would love to know what it is that you do in your day-to-day routine and how you go about setting a new ritual or maybe breaking one that you currently have. So reach out. I would love to know. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed filming and recording it. Get in touch because I really want to know what you're doing and how you go about setting yourself up for success, you know, within the rituals, within self-talk and affirmations. I think they're an amazing tool to be getting the best from ourselves. Thank you so much for tuning in with me today. And Caitlin, I appreciate you and your time. If you had a spare minute, I would love and really appreciate you leaving a review because this really helps the podcast grow. Once again, thank you so much. Have the best day, week, month, and year. Stay awesome. We'll catch you next time.